Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 201. It's quite an exciting time for me because, as most of you probably know, I've just been through not one but two book launches with my new book, The Dream Handbook. The first launch in Australia and the second launch just about a week ago in the UK. So during that time, there's been a lot happening. There's a lot required of an author, as I'm sure you know, for media and publicity. So we didn't quite get around to lining up a guest for today's show, which is the usual format in three out of four of our shows. So today, instead, I'm bringing you some stories from my life. And these include stories that will help you discover more tips to interpret your dreams, gain more insight into really just how important your dreams are, and starting off with a little talk about how to solve problems in your dreams, which is really all about how creative our dreams can be for us when we really, really need them to be. And right at the end, just in case you really have missed all of this, I will tell you a little bit more about the Dream Handbook and where you can get it. So before we do go into my little stories and sharings and dream interpretation tips, though, a mention of my website is janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. And that also, from there, you can get to the Dream Academy, or you can go direct to the Dream Academy, which is at dream-academy-online.com. Or you can find me on social media. And on those sites, all sorts of free stuff and paid stuff and information. And the sites have been going for a very long time, so lots of rich stuff for you to mine there. So beginning with a blog that I actually wrote just last month in February 2018, and this one's called Solving Problems in Your Dreams. And if you prefer to follow it up with a read, go to my website at the Dream Academy and you'll be able to read it there. Solving problems in your dreams. One of the many functions of dreaming is to come up with creative solutions to problems, to clear the mist that baffles us before sleep, and reveal new perspectives and possibilities, even brilliant ideas. Throughout history, we've been encouraged to sleep on it, to stop mulling over a problem, to quit admonishing ourselves for our inability to see the answer, to turn out the light and drift into healing sleep and problem-solving dreams. Sometimes it works really well, and you wake up knowing the answer to the previous night's perplexing question, or having new clarity on the problem and a promising array of ideas to follow. You may or may not remember the dreams, but you sense that they delivered. On those occasions when you do remember the dreams, you have the opportunity to explore the ways those dreams process the problem to arrive at the solution. You can also pick over those dreams for added insight and creative twists. Sometimes it doesn't work at all, and while you awake refreshed from a good night's sleep, there's no sense of a solution. In this situation, if you remember your dreams, you may notice that they were frustratingly unresolved dreams of the type that leave you going round in circles or blocked or getting nowhere. Aha, but these are the very dreams that are rich in wisdom about the problem. When you interpret these dreams, you'll discover what it is about your current mindset that is blocking or limiting your ability to find a solution to the problem. Or the dreams of the night may not seem unresolved. They may have been processing other recent experiences, or they may hold unexpected insight into the problem once you interpret them, giving you leads that prompt creative thinking and exciting solutions. On wonderful but rarer occasions, perhaps when we're unaware of taking a problem into the night to sleep on it, our dreams unexpectedly deliver creative concepts and gifts, exciting us to put brilliant ideas into action, to produce music we heard for the first time in a dream, to create a dream work of art, or to write a novel based on a dream. The fascinating thing is that the problem solving that can occur in our dreams is far from a rational process. The areas of the brain that control rational thought, in particular certain areas of the prefrontal cortex, are relatively inactive during dreaming. Dream problem solving is not so much a result of clear rational organization of thoughts as it is of wild, creative, out-of-the-box associations made possible by unfettering rational control. Sounds more like dreaming, doesn't it? Some of those wild associations are dead ends. Some put us back in touch with what we once knew but had forgotten, like where we put the lost keys, a daft place our rational brain would never have uncovered. Some stimulate possible avenues to explore, and some are magical, who would have thought, magnificent new perspectives that inspire us into action. Again, we may awaken with these solutions and ideas fresh in our mind with no recall of the dreams that birthed them, or we may remember the dreams and be able to mine them for further gems. And we can thank the unfettered dreams of many a famous person for the creative ideas and gifts they inspired. Our problem-solving dreams give us one or both of two wins, each win from a different side of the coin. The first win is from those creative dreams that offer us solutions from everything ranging from everyday problems to world-changing, dazzling ideas. The second win is from those dreams on the other side of the coin, the apparent failures, the ones that set out to solve a problem but didn't deliver an obvious first light of dawn solution, the unresolved, frustrating dreams. These can offer the greater win if you know how to explore and interpret them, because these dreams show you the makeup of your current mindset and the way that makeup is blocking you from finding a solution to the problem or resolving an issue. Once you gain that knowledge, you have the power, backed up by using dream alchemy exercises, to rewire that mindset and fast track to a top creative solution. You will have had many creative problem-solving dreams in your lifetime, and you will have many more in the future. Here's a simple one I once had. It's not a brilliant idea kind of dream. It's a helpful kind of dream. It's a dream I had when I was quite exhausted, although I didn't realise it, and my dreaming mind and brain got to work on finding a solution to this problem. It's an everyday personal dream that was half on one side of the coin and half on the other. In the dream, I had a bike, but I was too tired to cycle. I heard that I could get a yellow device, a round plastic shape, from the local garage that I could attach to my bike to make it easier to ride. I was about to cycle to the garage when I thought, why would I want to use energy that I don't have when I could get someone to deliver the yellow device to me? I was contemplating in the dream how to achieve that when I woke up. My waking thought in that moment, while I still believed the dream to be true, was that I could get it couriered to me. My dream delivered a creative solution to the problem of my exhaustion. Don't expend any more energy. Arrange to have the energy you need brought to you. The dream delivered on the first side of the coin, but on the second side of the coin was the fact that I didn't awake with a clear idea about how to achieve that. Because I remembered the dream, I was able to explore and interpret it and come up with some great practical ideas about how to not only re-energize myself, but also go about the project that had drained me in a different way, a way that opened up to better outcomes. One thing I love about this very simple dream is that it caught the point where I changed an attitude or flipped a belief, where I felt I had previously felt I had to exert more energy in order to achieve the outcome, to a new attitude or belief that was healthier, energizing, and offered greater opportunities. No, I don't ride a bike in waking life, and everything about this dream was in the realm of the symbolic. Yes, I do know that the dream's yellow device was a kind of dynamo, something my dreaming mind could picture but not name, just as I could picture but not name what I needed to happen in my life to get my energy balance right. A little bit of dream work was all that was needed to reach the yellow sunshine of enlightenment. I love that moment as I fall asleep, those few seconds where I catch rationality fading, structured thoughts dissolving as I surrender. Like being asked by an anaesthetist to count down from 10 before an operation, I get to about 8. But unlike having an operation where no time seems to have passed between lights out and recovery, I relish the dream experiences ahead of me and the fantastic out-of-the-box way they would dance me to a deeper knowing. So I promised to tell you some stories. And if you didn't regard the first one as a story, this one's definitely a story, and so is the next one. In fact, this one is so much a story that I've actually called this blog Tell Me a Story. And I wrote this one in August 2017. And if you'd like to track that one, this is on the janetheresa.com blog under August 2017. Tell Me a Story. As the wonderful mysteries of life and twists of fate would have it, I have lost my voice on the very morning that I had set aside to write this blog. Yes, you're correct. I don't need a speaking voice to write. But the subject I had already chosen was how to give voice to an intriguing dream symbol. If you've guessed I'm going to write about doing a dream dialogue, no, I'm not. Today's fun and deeply insightful exercise is about giving the microphone over to a dream symbol and asking it to tell the whole dream story from its unique point of view. So that's the recipe in a nutshell, and I'm about to illustrate this with an example and get into the reasons why this kind of exercise can so helpfully reveal and be potentially life-transforming. But first, let me tell you a story. Tell me another story about when you were little, implored my granddaughter Isabel last week, indulging her cherished long car journey game. When I was a little girl, about 6 or 7, about your age, I began, retelling one of her favourites, but adding new elements, surprise details, shifted perspectives. Okay, so that's partly for me, keeping it interesting and alive for me by weaving in different threads rather than rote telling my childhood stories for the thousandth time. But it's also to gently impart the art of storytelling and to show that nothing is set in stone, that views can shift, perspectives can change, and a seemingly familiar story can lead to quite a different ending and message. We have our set stories for those car journeys. The story of how I got my first pair of glasses. The story of how my junior school in England, an underprivileged school, was the first in the area to have its own swimming pool. The story of how I nearly drowned in my first swimming lesson. The story of how I was caught out writing a story in class instead of listening to the teacher. The story of the wolf that Dad brought home one Saturday afternoon, and with each retelling, a slight shift in emphasis, a subtlety of deliverable. The marathon telling of stories during some dry throat cold winter days last week probably contributed to my later loss of voice. But they also contributed to the idea I'm sharing with you today, the fun exploration of a dream as told from the point of view of a dream symbol or dream character. In the past weeks, I have been using my voice more than usual, presenting at a corporate gig, extra radio gigs in the same week as a television appearance, squeezing in extra phone client sessions, and then, 2 days ago, several hours of voice projection when we filmed almost all the videos for the Dream Therapy Professional Level 1 online course. The next day, yesterday as I write this, I woke up with only a whisper of a voice. The last filming had to be postponed to next weekend. Clients have had to be rescheduled and a radio gig has been cancelled. I'm listening to my body as if I had any real choice, and I'm resting my spoken voice. By the time you read this blog, I'll be back in the vocal flow. But for now, I'm communicating in different ways and experiencing interesting perspective shifts. Which brings me back to the dream exercise I have for you to enjoy. The formula is simple. Retell the whole dream from the point of view of one of the dream symbols or a dream character. Give yourself creative freedom. Let it flow and write fast. If you slow down the process, you'll bring in too much of your conscious mind and you'll edit out the powerful information the dream symbol can deliver. Your aim is to let your unconscious mind take the reins, to silence your conscious voice, to silence the main dream character, the one you experience as in the dream, and let another aspect of your dream story speak. Everyone and everything in a dream represents something about the dreamer. So when you give that dream symbol or dream character freedom to speak up, you discover a different but important aspect of yourself that helps you to understand your current situation. So for example, you might dream of going to the station to catch a train, only to realise you're on the wrong platform and you see your train depart without you. Your dream story, as seen through your eyes, is that you missed your train because you were on the wrong platform. Let's listen to the story from the train's point of view, which might be, I've always travelled this way. It's easy. Just follow the track someone laid down for me ages ago. Don't need to look, don't need to listen, just need to stop when I see a red light and go when I see a green light. Quite automated, really. Don't question where I'm going. I see you over there on the other platform looking perplexed. You're welcome to come with me. Surely you know my route by now, which platform to come to. Am I heading where you want to be? Seems not. In this example, the dreamer might reassess her perspective. Does she want to head down a track laid down long ago? Or is she ready for a different destination or approach? What might be the right platform for her? And how might she signal her desire to move in that direction? As you can see, this exercise helps shift perspective through gifting new questions posed from a different angle of your being. It's also a wonderful exercise to develop and extend your imagination and creativity. Perfect for those days when you feel blocked. Try it and see. And now for another story, and this one is called Deep Roots. And I wrote this one in September 2017. You can find it on the janetheresa.com if you want to read it as well. And I wrote it just after we came back from a trip to the UK, where I was born and lived my early adult life. For those of you that haven't picked up on this yet, I actually live in Australia now. Deep Roots. After living in Australia for more than half my life, I found myself back in England last month, standing in front of one of my childhood homes. Although I had revisited 100 times in my dreams over the decades, I hadn't made the physical trip to the South Coast to trace those early years until now. We moved into this particular house when I was 2 and left when I was 9, but it doesn't look the same. It's been done up, transformed, and probably for the best, but just a few houses along was the little triangle of grass that served as a meeting place for those of us that were big enough to be allowed to play beyond the second lamppost in the street. It wasn't just any old triangle of grass. Ours was special because of the acorns that always seemed to pile in abundance beneath the oak tree there. I used to collect the acorns, make things from them, fairy cups, I think, but most of all, I used to sit under the tree and contemplate those acorns and the miracle of how a tiny acorn could become a huge oak tree. So imagine my surprise when I discovered last month that the triangle of grass and the oak tree were still there, more than 50 years on. The tree was old and misshapen, but the acorns piled beneath it were as fresh and new and full of promise as those of half a century or more ago. It's a bit of a cliche, the acorns growing into oak trees analogy, but it was deeply meaningful and encouraging to me as a small child, and a model that I suspect is firmly rooted, given my ability to plod through the millions of small steps it can take to grow big visions into reality. And the fairy cups are there too, in the sense of magic and awe that breathes so much life into my everyday. But of course, there are other deep roots that formed for me in childhood. Some good, some not so good. Just as there are deep roots that formed for you too, whatever the shape of our different upbringings. The beauty of working with your dreams is that you get to discover these roots. Those beliefs about life, especially the unconscious ones, to see how they still affect your life today. To enhance the nutritious ones, and to do a little medicine on the more unhelpful or toxic ones. Dream work can reveal the tiniest events, the seeds, the acorns that grew into those deeply rooted firm beliefs. Such is the plasticity and vulnerability of a young child's mind, eager to absorb, learn, and protect itself from harm. My brother keeps a photo prominently displayed in his house of my sister and I cuddling a chimpanzee. I'm about 9, my sister is about 7, and my brother would have been about 2 at the time. The photo had been prominently displayed in our home when my brother was small, and for many years he believed he was the chimpanzee. Apparently, I had told him about evolution. And along the way, he believed that he started life as a chimp before he evolved into a boy. We've known this story for so long that, weirdly, we all refer to the photo as being of the three of us. So last month, we decided to reshoot the photo with my brother in place of the chimpanzee. It was hysterically challenging trying to recreate the same expressions, and I wish someone had videoed our efforts and captured the hilarity that led to the final result. In the original photo, my sister and I are in our best matching clothes, so it must have been a big day out, but where? I knew the photo well, but didn't remember where it was taken. I imagined we were at a zoo, but our family didn't really do big outings. My sister remembers standing in front of a painted screen on a pier at the beach to have the photo taken. It turned out she was right when we searched through some old photos and found a copy with Clarence Pier, Southsea, handwritten on the back. Memories of the same event can differ, be imaginary, or, in my brother's case, be totally and wonderfully surreal. In a similar way, dream work can help us to separate the real from the imagined, to understand the origin and evolution of our memories and beliefs, and how they affect our lives, and, once enlightened, to use dream alchemy techniques to reshoot and create new memories and better ways forward. Now, when I wrote that blog, I put a picture that I had taken as the header for that blog. So you can see that if you go and have a look. And I took the picture while we were visiting Avebury, which is near Stonehenge, which, as of course you know, is the site of the largest stone circle in Britain. And we just passed by this clump of trees and I thought, oh, they look really interesting because there's the trees, yeah, like pretty boring trees, but there's this huge root system that is showing through the earth and it's just forming a beautiful pattern. So I just walked past, lifted up my iPhone, took a quick shot, and when I looked at the picture later, it was so lovely that I kept it. And then I thought, I'll use this for this deep roots blog because picture goes with deep roots. And I later found out that it's actually the tree I took a picture of is a famous wishing tree. And the person I spoke with said that her wish was granted. You know, you go and you tie a little wish to the tree. Well, she had a very big wish and it came true. So I thought that was kind of like a really nice magical ending for that particular story. So I started today's show by saying that I've just had two books released, one in Australia and one in the UK. Actually, the same book. The same book. It's called The Dream Handbook. But the one in Australia is published by Hachette. And the one in the UK is published by Little Brown under their Piatkus imprint. And they both have a different cover. So same book, different covers, different publishers, and published about 3 weeks apart. And that, as I also said at the beginning of the show, I've been doing a kind of rather busy publicity schedule around talking about the books on media. And you may or may not have caught some of that in some places. But I thought that I would tell you a little bit more about the Dream Handbook in case of the curious case where you might be listening but haven't quite got round to buying a copy. So I thought I'd tell you a bit about it. So if you already have my last book, Dream Alchemy, which was a much-loved classic, first published in 2003, you may discover that the Dream Handbook is actually an updated version with a new title. And this is because my Australian publisher had a vision of bringing back the look and feel of the book up to date for a whole new readership and invited me to make minor changes to the text to bring it into alignment with the world as we know it in 2018. So simple things like mentioning a dial-up modem and other dated references have been brushed up. My bio has been updated and the new title and cover designs work with today's publishing edge. So if you have got Dream Alchemy, you might like to replace your well-thumbed copy or buy the Dream Handbook as a gift for friends and family. And of course, if you didn't ever get Dream Alchemy, well, there's no excuses. Go out and buy the Dream Handbook because I'm just about to tell you something about it. And of course, you now know that as a much-loved classic, it must be pretty good or it wouldn't have lasted this long. I'm allowed to say that, I think. Based on number of sales. I'm delighted that the book's has been published in the country of my birth as well, in the UK, and that's really lovely. Oh, by the way, the UK book is, or the Piatkus book is a hard cover, and the Australian book is a soft cover. So if you've got a preference of not only the design on the cover, but whether you like a hardback book or a softback book, there's another option. And it's also been brought out, both publishers have also brought it out in digital edition, which you can find in all the usual places on Amazon in your country. So I'm going to tell you a little about the book, but also because in this world it can be quite difficult, depending on which country you live in, to know where to go and buy the book, I've actually set up a page on my website, which is janetheresa.com/books/. So janetheresa.com/books/. And I've collected together there links that you can follow to buy the book. So, for example, if you want to buy the actual book from Australia or the actual book from the UK, depending on which country you live, I've given different links that save you on shipping fees. And I've also given links to the digital edition, which, of course, the links are different according to which zone of the world you live in. So go there for your purchase links. Of course, if you live in Australia, go into any good bookshop. And if you live in the UK, go into any good bookshop as well. So what's the book about? The Dream Handbook is the ultimate look-up book, designed to help you understand your unique dreams and discover what they reveal about your unconscious mind and how it powerfully influences your life. But it doesn't stop there. The Dream Handbook gives my easy-to-follow signature dream alchemy practices for you to do to reprogram the limiting beliefs and patterns identified in your dreams. And when you do the Dream Alchemy practices, you'll witness your life changing in wonderful ways that seem quite magical. So you can use the Dream Handbook to look up the common dream themes we all have from time to time, as well as to learn how to decipher your not-so-common dreams. It's not a dream dictionary. The symbols in our dreams are unique and personal. The Dream Handbook uses lists and methods that guide you to understand your dreams and then apply the right dream alchemy practices to suit your situation. The Dream Handbook also shows you how to stop uncomfortable recurring dreams or nightmares, how to transform fearful dreams into positive life change, how to identify and release emotional blocks, how to heal the past, how to create more fulfilling relationships, how to tap into your creative source, and how to identify your spiritual lessons and move forward, all that and quite a bit more. You can keep the book by your bed simply to refer to in the mornings while your dreams are fresh, or you can also dip into it or read it from cover to cover, picking up dream interpretation tips as you go. So, or you can just listen to lots more episodes of The Dream Show, but I think it's really nice to have the real book, and I would really appreciate it if you went out and bought my book. I've actually written another book, which is coming out sometime after that, but invest in the Dream Handbook first, and I'm sure that you'll gain lots from it. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. The next episode, episode 202, will be out on the 30th of March if you're listening to this in real time. Of course, having said listening to this in real time, you can listen back to every episode we have ever produced. They're all to be found at janetheresa.com. They're easy to find. And you can also always find the last 10 episodes of The Dream Show on iTunes. Roughly three out of four of every shows that we do, we have a guest on the show with a dream to be interpreted. If you'd like to be a guest on The Dream Show, that involves us phoning or Skyping you and me not knowing about your dream until we hit the record button, you tell me your dream and we go from there. If you'd like to volunteer to help us in that way by being a guest on The Dream Show, simply go to my website at janetheresa.com, go to the top menu, look under podcasts, and you'll find in the drop-down box how to be a guest on The Dream Show. So thank you for listening to yet another episode. Have a wonderful month. Go out and buy my book, and I'll speak to you next month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.